Blog Talk Radio. Lifetime Women of War radio broadcast. This is Evangelist Watson, and I want to say good evening, Apostle Deborah Dean.
Good evening, Evangelist Watson. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored and rushed to death.
All right. I know. My poor Evangelist, prophets, and all those other heads. We just want to thank and praise God for Evangelist, prophets, and some more heads. And we just thank God for her being our engineer that had two. I just thank and praise God for her. We just love you. We thank you so much when we realize how big and how many heads that God has for you. I just want to encourage you, you know, we love you so much for even taking time with us. So I thank and praise God, and I thank and praise God for being on this radio broadcast on tonight. I give God glory on tonight. I praise his holy name for being here. It is good. It's good. This is the day that he has made, and it's very, very good, and I thank God for it on today. We just thank God for everyone and want to welcome everyone that's on the radio broadcast and radio land. This is Apostle Deborah Deans, and I bring you greetings from the end time men and women of war. On tonight, it is a glorious day. We're going to get ready to get started. We have a lot to talk about. We're still talking about the Sabbath, but I'm going to read a scripture and pray for a minute, and we're going to get right back in it because tonight will be our last night for a while talking about it. So I'm going to be coming from Psalm 4. It says, Hear me when I call, God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayers. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call upon him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I have just read you the entire chapter of the fourth division of Psalms. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we just come right now thanking you right now. Just thank you right now for right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We come right now, Father, taking control over the atmosphere, over the airwaves, over the radio broadcast right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you right now, Father, to send your angels, Lord, in this place, your anointing, Father. We cover it right now in the shed blood of Jesus. Father, let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase and teach your people on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. I have no will of myself. I lay my will down, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit may teach your people on tonight. I thank you and I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. I just wanted to get that out the way because we were talking on Monday, we were talking about the Sabbath. And I had so many questions people asked me on Monday until I just said, well, we'll do it again on Thursday. So if anyone have any questions at all, feel free to ask them, because I'm just going to go over a few scriptures on tonight. And we're going to do it from there, because I don't think I had too many scriptures the other day. I may have. but I got more. I got some in the Old Testament now, if you will. Turn to chapter, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Okay. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all of the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, it's just saying that God created, on he created everything on them day, on the, he was finished. I say that he finished everything. The seventh day was the day of rest, the Sabbath. And the Hebrew is in here in this is well put together, because on it's explaining about the number seven, which the number seven often represents the covenant that God made with the Israelites. The number seven does. And it says, thus it is no surprise that the Sabbath became the sign of God's covenant at Sinai. Yeah, because I think when he threw those tablets, when Moses threw the tablets, I think it was on the Sabbath when he came down. And it says, God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. He made it holy because he sanctified it. He set it apart because it commemorated the completion the completion of his creative work. God's Sabbath rest became a predominant part of the scripture. The work, his creative work, I'm talking about rest. But God's Sabbath rest became a predominant metaphor of scripture. Here before the fall, it represented the perfect creation before Adam and Eve fell. We had a perfect creation. It was perfect. It was sanctified and at rest. After the fall, this rest became a goal to be sought. The establishment of theocratic rest in the land, whether by Moses or by Joshua at the conquest, demanded faith and obedience. Today, believers enter into the Sabbath rest spiritually. And I got more scriptures, and we'll certainly share it, this full restoration. Okay. The Lord rested from all of his work, and I wanted to get to some scripture I got. I don't know if I can find it, but I'm going to go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 20. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Okay, and it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy works, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So, right here, the Sabbath was, and this is the fourth commandment, the Sabbath, keeping this, remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy. It says, a day of solemn worship of God, kept weekly, keeping the Sabbath day. Holy means to separate it, the seventh day, from the other six as a special day to the Lord. People are to work in 6 days and worship on the seventh. This contrasts with the Israelite slavery in Egypt, when presumably they had no break in their daily routine. The basis for this commandment is God's creating the universe in 6 days and resting on the seventh day. This was not to be a day of slothful inactivity, but of spiritual service through religious observance. For the violation of this command, God imposed on Israel the death penalty. In the present church age, the day of worship has been changed from Saturday to Sunday because of Jesus' resurrection on the first day of the week. Let's see what else is saying here. So, and it says in here that it had been changed, but the Sabbath day, some people say, well, that's just for the Jews, but the Jews and the Gentiles and foreigners, because I read it today. And I guess I just wait and run up on the scripture where I read it, because I'm going to read all these scriptures. And I don't know who you are in the Lord, but I know who I am in the Lord, and it's for me. It's for me. It's from my father, Jacob, Israel. So, and we have to keep it, because that's what he wanted us to do, was keep it. It was a commandment. And he didn't change it. Isaiah. I'm going to go to Isaiah 55, verse 8. Let me see. I'm working with two Bibles here because I'm looking out of one and looking into the other one. Hold on. Isaiah 55. And once you start doing it, you're going to be looking to do it. You'll be looking to do it. Because I do. I'll be saying, Lord, I shall be glad when the Sabbath day come. And it's just like body shut down and you ready to sleep or do whatever, study, whatever. When I was in St. Louis, I went to three churches on the Sabbath. But here, I don't know where a lot of the churches are to keep the Sabbath, and we're going to start doing it. But I want to wait and get a building. I don't want everybody coming in just yet. Okay, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. Let me see. That's verse 8. Okay, I don't know. Maybe that's wrong. Anyway, 56, Isaiah chapter 56, verse 2 says, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hands from doing any evil. Nevertheless, neither let the son of the stranger that have joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord have utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the Enoch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the Enoch that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the son and daughter, better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them a everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of strangers, this is what I'm talking about, I was reading that today, that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and take it whole of my account. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathered the outcast of Israel, said, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. All ye beasts of the field, come to devour you, all ye beasts in the forest. Okay, we're not going to go down there, but he's saying even the Enoch, and I'm going to turn over and read it out of my, because you'll get a better understanding. He said, okay, a promise that believing foreigners would be blessed. I mean, I started too early. In Isaiah's day, a righteous person, a believer who does what is right, this is Isaiah 56, lived according to God's law and expressions of his righteousness standard. Keeping the Sabbath was important under the law. For a person, by not engaging agriculture or business pursuit on that day, thereby knowledge that he believed God would take care of him and bless him. Since the Sabbath was a sign of Israel's covenant with God, keeping the Sabbath signified that a person believed in the covenant and the Lord. Such a person also turned from doing evil. A promise that believing foreigners would be blessed. Gentile people outside the covenant community who followed the Lord were not to think they would have no salvation or part in the millennium kingdom. Even foreigners and Enoch who joined themselves to the Lord are welcome. This contrasts with the exclusion of Enoch under the Mosaic law that's in Deuteronomy 21:1. Keeping the Sabbath and obeying God's covenant stipulations would demonstrate their loyalty to the Lord. In fact, they would be memorialized forever. This is striking because a Enoch unable to sire children, or they unable to have children, has no way of passing on his name through sons. Foreigners who love the Lord are acceptable to God and will be regathered along with believing Israelites, redeemed Gentiles, though not in the covenant family of Israel, can still receive God's blessings. They show their devotion to the Lord by their service, worship, and obedience. Keeping the Sabbath and God's covenant stipulation, as God promised Abraham, through him all people of the world would be blessed. These Gentiles will be gathered to Zion, his holy mountain. So along with Israel, where they too will worship the Lord in pray and offering. So, I haven't read all of them, but this goes to show you that if you keep the Sabbath, if you keep the commandments of God, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You show me you love me. I don't care who you are. You can be a foreigner. You can be a Gentile. Whatever you are, when you keep in covenant with God, when you do this, it makes him do what he says he's going to do. He see you when you do it. If I know some people can't sit still that long and stay in and rest. But if you're going to go out, you go to a covenant-keeping church on the Sabbath. But it's hard to find them because we're not teaching them. The pastors and bishops and apostles are not teaching about the Sabbath day. And we should be. There is no reason why there's so many churches in error. There is not a reason why. Because they got the same King James Bible that we have. And it's been in here all the time. But people, you know, you have to be taught. And when God get ready for you to know, you going to know. He'll put somebody in a place, and he probably have done it many times, and we just probably say, oh, like people say, we 7 days in it. I don't care what they say I am. I don't care what they say I am, because I'm looking to see Jesus. I'm not worried about what they say I am. I want to keep God's commandments. I want to do exactly what. It took me a minute. I had to go to the Bible, go in the Bible, look here, look there. I had to do that because I had to get it set in my heart that this is right and this is what. And God did not change these 10 commandments. He didn't change these. So it's still standing forth. And now I see, just like the Church of God and Christ have it, its convocation, the Sabbath day keepers have theirs. So you know we it's in they're white and black, they every, you know, this race of people keeping the Sabbath day, keeping covenant with God. That is a covenant he made with us, one of them, and we need to be trying to do it. And like I said, Monday, I just wanted to offer my hands. I hope you all would start doing it. But if you do not choose to do it, it's between you and God. Because I'm putting it out there for you. I'm Apostle Deans, he helped me today and got some scriptures because he's been knowing it back and forth, and he wrote me some scriptures and kind of explained some things to me a little more. And so now, we keep it every Saturday anyway, most of the time. Most of the time. I try, when I'm traveling, I can't hardly keep it, but because I'm off. But usually, you stay at home. A lot of times, I prepare my food on Friday. So on Saturday, all I have to do is warm up. And what they're saying, don't go labor over baked chicken and trying to make this big dinner and all this on the Sabbath day. He don't want you to do hard labor on the Sabbath, nothing hard, cleaning, ironing, washing, none of that. He wants you to rest. He wants you to relax, study the Word of God, praise and worshiping. Whatever you do, I have a DVD tape of the King James Bible. I usually let that play in one room of the house, so going through the atmosphere in the house. And another room we may be playing a CD. In another room we may be studying. We just want to have the house full of whatever it is, songs, gospel songs, the gospel. And it's, I put it on and let it play it all day through the whole Bible. And that's what he did. And when it was when sundown on Saturday, you blow your candles out, and you can cut everything off if you want to. and relax. And I know, you know, it may seem, well, that's the only day, you know, I get to go out and shop and eat and this and that. But it's okay. You have to try to go on Friday. Any questions? I know we got some questions.
So what about noodles?
What?
Can I cook noodles? That's not hard, is it?
Mm-mm. No, that's not hard. No, we're talking about, like, getting their friends some chicken and all this kind of stuff. If you're going to do this kind of cooking, you do it on Friday, so all you have to do is warm it on Saturday. You know, no hard labor stuff.
Friday?
Huh?
Don't the Sabbath start Friday?
It starts Friday evening, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it stops Saturday when the sun goes down. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. What is the significance of burning the candles?
Well, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but from the Jewish people, they light candles. You know, a lot of times in the sanctuary, you have a menorah. A menorah is a candle holder. It has 8 candle holders, and they use them when they go in the synagogue. They light the menorah on the Sabbath. Some people stay in the synagogues from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday worshiping. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know this. Okay.
I'm sorry. So what if you want to do the Sabbath, but somebody else ain't on the same page? Can I still do it, whether they on the same page or not?
Absolutely.
Do it have to be absolutely quiet in the house?
No.
Okay.
It don't have to be absolutely quiet in the house. You have to rest and do what you do to the Lord, because everybody's not going where you going. Everybody
right.
Not in a place where you are, you know, with the Lord. So you have to do what you know is right to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that. And I'm telling you all, I promise you're going to see a difference, because I do. Mm-hmm. You're going to see a difference. The candle, when you light the candle, you say like a house blessing, Lord bless this house, or whatever is on your heart, but it's like they bless the synagogue or wherever they are. When they light the candle, they ask the Lord to bless it. They ask God to bless it. Mhm. And that's what I've always done when I light them, and I light them, you know, and I let them light on Friday evenings, and then I blow it out when I get ready to go to bed. And on Saturdays, when I get up at 6 o'clock and go light the candles and come back and get in the bed, say my blessings and come back and get in the bed. Yeah, more questions. I know I have more questions in there because you all need to know.
Hey, man. It's just a comment. It's just a blessing to be on the right page and a blessing to learn so much about the Sabbath. But for many years, you know, we've been taught in error. And for many years, we have prepared Sunday dinner on Saturday and just worked hard and washed and cleaned up week and worked all week long on Saturday, you know, on preparing to rest on Sunday. And so it's just such a blessing to be taught the right way. So I just thank and praise God for this teaching and to learn. And I'm just excited about the blessing that we're going to receive on learning how to do this thing right. And so I know everyone is preparing for the Sabbath that's coming up because I am.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle.
Amen. Amen. Prophet Salem, you're absolutely right, and I thank God for the comment, because once you know to do what's right, we should do what's right. You have enough scripture here in the Word of God to show you that this is what God called you to do. Even over in Acts chapter 2, Paul still was observing the Sabbath, keeping it holy. So it wasn't just Old Testament stuff, New Testament stuff too. And we need to get in order. See, that's why a lot of us be going through, because our homes are out of order. Our homes are out of order. This is something that should be done every week. And I know God is making it possible for you all to know, because I wouldn't have never tried to teach on it. Never. Mm-mm. Not me, because I didn't know enough about it. The Lord said, you know enough. Say what I say. So Apostle Dean's helped me today, this evening, on some, and you know how he is. He was snapping in. If they ain't going to do this, they can't do this. And I was like, oh, Lord Jesus. But it was still good. It was all good information. And I just thank and praise the Lord that I got a chance to go back over it again. I got a chance. And believe me, Apostle Rachel and them keep those days. And I'm telling you, when we do these holy days again, I'm gonna be ready by the grace of God. I'm going to be ready to go when they have these feasts and stuff, because it'd be prophets and everything be there. It'd be just so anointed. Mm-hmm. The one that we were gonna go to in Orlando, Prophet Manasseh was there. And something happened. I don't know what happened. It was raining, the winds and stuff like that. But he was supposed to have been there. And then you have them all over. And you think people not keeping this Sabbath, because we just getting ready to start. But people, you think, me and my daughters and family used to attend a Baptist church where our pastor was Pastor Fred Harris. And I see him on Facebook, and he talking about the Sabbath. So I know he come out of the Baptist church just like we did. But I know God is making it possible. He's getting his people together. You know, he's getting them people together. Yes, he is, for his coming. He said it was a sign. It was one of the signs. Amen. Anyone else? Let's see, Isaiah 58, let me read that. This is verse 2. Okay, the reminder of the people's sins. Isaiah chapter 58, God called for heralds to go about telling the nation of their rebellion, transgressions. Okay, sins. Like a trumpet used to get people's attention, the heralds were to shout outwardly. The people seemed eager to want to know God and for God to be near them. The concern of the people, the people voiced their concern that they were in difficulty, though they seemed to be doing what the law required. They fasted and humbled themselves, but they feared that God had not seen it or noticed it. Apparently, they thought that by going through the motions of religion, they would be blessed. The response of the Lord responded by pointing out that he was more interested in their obedience than their rituals. Unfortunately, they, like many people, had confused rituals with relationship, outward acts with true obedience. So that's another thing. When you're keeping the covenant, when you're keeping the Sabbath, you're in true obedience. They fasted, they humbled themselves, keep the Sabbath. Their fast did not alter their poor relationship with others. They were disregarding other people's need by exploiting their employees and by quarreling and fighting. Therefore, their prayers would not be heard, for their kind of fasting was not what the Lord accepted. Their hearts, not just their heads, needed to bow before the Lord. And I went a little too far, but it was still good. It's still good because when you keeping the commandment, that's being obedient. When you know what's right and you don't do it, it's rebellion. So out of obedience, God is going to bless us. Over in Deuteronomy 28, you know the blessings. When you obey God, those blessings are yours. When you obey God, I mean, when you don't know, is one thing. But when God opened it up for you to know, be obedient. Be obedient, like I said on Monday. You can worship God anytime, any day of the week you want to. But on the Sabbath, you worshiping, you do what you do. And it's like you don't do stuff like for yourself, like just having a good time out and laughing and going purchasing, buying clothes and shoes and, you know, all this kind of stuff until after the sun go down. When the sun go down, go right ahead and do what you was doing, out and doing whatever you was doing. But I used to, and it says, and I don't know where it is, but I know my husband read it to me today, you're not supposed to. Now, you could do stuff for yourself, but not too much. Now, I used to fast. When I stayed in St. Louis, I used to fast from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. But they were saying I'm not supposed to do that. A couple of people said because I was afflicting my body and I'm not supposed to do any of that. So I don't really know. And then I had a prophet, Shirai, told me to do whatever the Lord tell me to do. So, you know, it's just like you have to hear the voice of God. You have to hear him. You know, you have to hear him. And some people are going to accept this and some people not. But some people ready to do what, ready to be obedient, ready to do what God says do. You know, a lot of the cultures, they do different ways. They worship different ways. They worship different times. They do different. But we're in the Bible, and we keeping what the Bible says. And you won't be anything but blessed, I'm telling you. Nothing but blessed. Any more questions, any comments? Okay. Let me see what else I got. Okay. Many are unaware of God's instructions to keep the Sabbath. Those who know but refuse to do so indicate their distrust for God and his providence. If their disobedience hinges on the quest for pleasure, they are failing to recognize the true pleasure of life. If they worry about financial security and success on the job, they limit God's power to help and bless them. The Sabbath command restrictions the amount of time man can apportion for his weekly labor. it counteracts the temptation to work. We are given 6 working days, which are fulfilled by rest on the 7th day. The idol of work is demolished when man rejects the lifestyle of financial success and status that often leads him to break the Sabbath. Activities on the Sabbath, such as a quest for material pleasures, pursuing sports, attending amusement parks, the beach, the dance hall, the restaurant, or the ski resorts, cannot fulfill the longing man has kept in his soul. These are all forms of evasion, a temporary illusion which hides men from reality. In the end, man is left with spiritual emptiness. Spiritual emptiness is what is behind the exhaustion and tension suffered by so many. The tranny of materialism can be broken by means of keeping the Sabbath. There is great spiritual value in the Sabbath and the fellowship that comes about by meeting with those who are like-minded. True values are revealed to those who obey God and keep the Sabbath. When not balanced by rest, work becomes an oppressive and relentless taskmaster. It degrades the personality and destroys the balance between the body and the mind. The idle work turns men into mere brutes. Y'all, I can't say R's good. Brutes. The Sabbath exemplifies the idea of God's love, care, the method he has given to bestow a human freedom at the physical level. The Sabbath grant man the freedom from the tranny of work, from heartless exploitation, from the over attachment to people and things, and from man's greed. It refreshes and energizes man with renewed zeal for the coming week. Even when circumstances seem to be unfavorable, the man who observes God's Sabbath has renounced the greed and selfishness brought on by quest for material things. The Sabbath protects both man and animal from the abuses of greedy employers. It teaches the selfish at least for one day a week to resist the temptation for the continual immaculation of wealth, accumulation of wealth. It teaches man to gratefully acknowledge the blessings of God. This writing is so little, y'all. Just bear with me. Of God, and I lost my place. Of God's Sabbath has renounced the greed and selfishness brought on by the quest for material things. The Sabbath, okay, of God, when work is completed at the end of the week, one can look forward to a day of rest. God's plans for the week is completed in our lives when we experience the meaning and sense of direction that the Sabbath brings. If not, then our lives become a continuous, meaningless, linear existence. When Israel was in slavery, the people could not the Sabbath. When God delivered them, they were told to remember the Sabbath. Sabbath keeping was to be a concrete experience, even involving a future consideration for the more unfortunate. Deuteronomy 5:15. among other things, the Sabbath was given because it demonstrated a genuine concern for the rights and needs of others, but it anticipated not only a personal rest and liberation from social injustice, but the future rest and peace to be realized at the return of the Messiah. So it, what it's saying right here, this last part about keeping the Sabbath and demonstrating genuine concern for the rights and needs of others and the greed that we have. We think, because I used to work all the time. But I was doing a livery, and so I could, and then I was at home on Saturdays and Sundays. I went home on Saturday morning, but on Friday evenings I was at work. But most Saturdays I was at home. I did not go anywhere until after the Sabbath was over. Even when it's hot in the summertime, when the sun don't go down about 8:30 or 9 o'clock, you still have to keep the Sabbath. You know, because it shows the Lord that I don't care what time it is. I don't care what, this is one day a week, and it's yours. And that's the way I feel about it. It's one, every day is his, but this is dedicated to him. The one day from, this is me now. It's dedicated to him. So a week or so ago, I went on a Saturday to brunch, or lunch, whatever you want to call it. But we was discussing and talking about ministry stuff. So I went on because that's what we were doing. And we left there and went right on back to the house because I know what God expects. I know it. He sees what we're doing, just like he expects for us to keep all of the commandments. He expects for us to keep that one too. Any questions? Comments?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, hello everyone. It's Brother Harold. I just got on a little late, and you were talking about the Sabbath. And
mm-hmm.
and we all know the Sabbath is on a Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
I mean,
yes, that's right.
I always wondered, you know, you talk to a lot of pastors and whatnot, and they always say, well, Jesus fulfilled the law and everything and this, and that. But when you really look at it, if the Israelites were doing what they were supposed to do and spreading it around the world, everybody would have been walking in these things. If you really look at it from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Everybody would have been speaking the Hebrew language, or, you know, they would have fulfilled the call on their life, and we would have been walking in these things. So everything's coming back full circle.
That's right. That's right. Well, see, it was just saying that the Israelites, they were in captivity, so they couldn't keep the Sabbath when they was up on the Pharaoh. But when God delivered them, had Moses to deliver them, then they started keeping. He commanded them to start keeping it, the commandments and the Sabbath day again. And a lot of times we feel like, well, I ain't no Jew. This just for Jews. Let me tell you something, until you know who you are. You don't. Some people don't really know who they are, but if you think you Gentiles, or it says Enoch, or even foreigners, if you keep this covenant, God will honor it. I don't care who you think you are. The covenant, if you keep the Sabbath, he will honor that. That's what the Word of God says in the Bible. He said even Enoch, that can't even have children, I've met some that can't have children. They just unto the Lord. A man never touched them, period. Just like nuns. But these are Enoch. Nuns probably could have children if they wanted to, but these, they can't have children. And he said, even the foreigners, the strangers in the land that's around your property or whatever, even them, he said, I will honor that. You have to keep the Sabbath. You have to keep covenant with the Lord. He promised us, Jacob, he promised us. So when we do it, you can tell the difference. You can tell the difference in people. You can tell the difference in their lives. You can tell their spirit is different. I can tell because I've been around them that worship on Saturdays a lot. So I can really tell the difference, I'm telling you. And when you're in covenant with God, that's the best place to be, in covenant with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Anyone else have any comments or questions before we get off? And so this is... Okay.
That woman of God, I just want to say, I'm trying to think where that is. And in Romans, where Paul talks about when we come into Christ, we are the spiritual Jews. And they talk about
come where?
We are the spiritual Jews with the circumcision of the heart by the Holy Ghost versus,
uh-huh.
you know, with the.
Mm-hmm.
The
I had that. What did I do with that?
And
I
versus,
had that leg. Well, I was I don't know what I did with my notes from Monday, but I had a lot of scriptures, and I think it was Romans. Let me see if
it's somewhere in Romans. Somewhere in Romans, first or second chapter, I think.
Mm.
They say a Jew is not a Jew outward, but a Jew inward. And we know he's talking about through the operation
of the
Holy Spirit.
Oh, it's the 29th. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and
right.
Circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man but of God. So, they was talking about, let me see, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision is verily profitable, profit, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and in circumcision doeth transgress the law, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, who praises is not of men but of God. You're absolutely right. And they talking about here, this is chapter 2.
I just want to share something with you. You know, a lot of people in the body of Christ, they keep looking at if you curse the Jews, this and that. But what they fail to realize, the Bible says we got better promises, better covenants. So if you curses the natural Jew, the people don't understand. It's even more if someone cursed us. But when we realize that we are blessed people, I'll give you a prime example. Even though the Jews were stiff-necked, wicked, and disobedient and rebellion, one thing they did know, that they knew they were the promised people of God. Even though they didn't obey him, they knew that God was faithful to them. They just weren't faithful to God. They always said, we're in bondage to no man, even though they were
right.
Under Roman captivity. But in their hearts, they knew that. That's the thing. We don't really realize that we are what God said we are. When we realize, even if you were in captivity like they were, but they knew who they were, you know, even though they were in captivity, but when we get that realization that we are who God said we are, things will change in our lives.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Well, you have to really know who you are. Because, you know, you have black Jews, too.
So if you're going to curse the natural Jews and you are in the new covenant, eternal covenant of Christ, it's even more judgment to come on them for cursing us. But somehow a lot of people think it's still talking about the Jews. But we are the eternal Jews.
We are
the eternal Jews. So whatever he said back then is even greater on us.
Yeah.
But we keep looking back at the natural Jews, the law, and all that type of stuff. We got it so much better than they had.
Amen.
We just don't realize it.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I do know it's black Jews. I do know that. I've seen them with my own eyes. And it's a pastor that come on television. I forgot his name. He's always asking for money to bring these Jews back to Israel. Some of them, a lot of them are Ethiopian Jews, and they are black. So, and he have a lot of them. And the ones that I saw on television, was all of them was black. And so he was asking for donations to get them back to Israel. So, you know, you're right. That's why I say we better do what we know is right now. And I was going to read some things, but I'm not, because you explained it very well. We better get it together. I know that, and start doing what we know to do is right. We have to. We don't. It's not an option. You know, we got to do it. I'm telling you. And if you just start trying to do it, God know your heart. He know your heart. Observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Remember it and keep it holy. Do what you know is right. I thank and praise God for it, because it gives you a relief. And some people work on Saturday. Some people don't have an option. You know, they have to work on Saturday. But the ones that don't, you need to be trying to do it. I tell you that. And you'll tell the difference, because I know I do. It's good anyway to consecrate yourself, you know, and stay away from people and let God heal your spirit and your mind and stuff. It's good. That's a good thing.
Well, can I ask you a question? Woman, now, what if you're out, evangelizing on the street on a Saturday?
Anytime you doing the will of God, I'm telling you, on Saturdays when I lived in St. Louis, I went to 3 churches. I went to church from morning till the sun went down. That's what I did. And we supposed to do that. We supposed to do the will of God on the Saturday. He's not going to stop us, because remember, he healed the lady on the Sabbath day. He's not, we're doing the will of God is what he wants us to do. And even by resting and studying and worshiping him, all that is good. You observing the Sabbath day and you keeping it holy. You don't go and do things, because I know I was with an apostle on the Sabbath, and she got us to start going to these churches. But believe me, when we were in the car, we talked about the word of God. We talked about godly things. We didn't talk about, girl, my foot itching or my head. You don't do that. We didn't do none of that. We talked about the Lord. We talked about the word of God. We talked about our spirits, our mind, our heart, whatever it had to, it was pertaining to the Lord until we got to the next church. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing. When you are doing what God has called you to do, to me it's still the same, and that's why Jesus came and healed a lady on the Sabbath. And that's why I'll go to a service on the Sabbath. Amen. Anyone else?
Amen.
Well, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, on Monday I start talking about something new every week. And I do it for Monday and Thursday. But we'll get back again to the Sabbath. And maybe I have Apostle Dan to teach. Maybe you ought to be ready for him to teach it, because he goes so deep in it and stuff like that. So I was just trying to get you ready for it before he teaches. So next time I'm gonna let him teach, and because he go way back in it and stuff, and he know a lot more than I do about it. So if there's nothing else, any announcements or anything, we're going to get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you tonight for the teaching, Father. I thank you tonight for your anointing. I feel it all over me. It's like a heater. I thank you for it on tonight, Father. I thank you right now for a calm, quiet, peaceful Bible study, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for covering it on tonight in the name of Jesus. I just thank you tonight, Father. I thank you that the Holy Spirit taught us, Lord, and we learned in the name of Jesus. I just thank you tonight. It's just been blessed. It's been really blessed, and I thank and praise God for it. And Father, I just give you glory, and I just thank you for opening up our understanding on tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for new revelation on tonight, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we just give you glory. We just standing on your word, Lord, and we thank you for every covenant, Father, that you made with us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for every blessing, Lord, that comes with these covenants, every benefit, Father, that comes with your covenant, Lord. In the name of, we just give you praise. We ask you now to get us ready, Father, for the Sabbath on tomorrow, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just thanking you, Father, for getting us ready for the Sabbath on tomorrow. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. And thank God. You all have a blessed night. I love you all. You can call me if you need to call me. I love you. Have a blessed night and a blessed Sabbath day on tomorrow. God bless. See you at Intercessory Prayer tomorrow night, though. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.